They brought up a scripture that was so powerful. In Zechariah 10, it says, in the latter rain, ask for rain. In the latter rain, ask for rain. And here we are, we're in the latter rain. And so in these moments when we're crying out and singing to Jesus direct, not songs about God, not songs about how we're doing, not your top 10 K-Love songs, nothing against those, but there are certain things that touch the heart of God. And we touched on that this morning, and we felt God move, and I'm here to say it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's a book called In the Day of Thy Power, and it's Arthur Wallace, and he's writing 10 years after the Welsh Revival. And he said, revival is when man takes a step back and God takes the platform. When man and his agenda steps back and God takes the platform. And friends, I'm longing for that day. I'm longing for the day that we get lost in worship. At Asbury, there were supernatural things happen and nobody laid a hand on them. It's like, it's all, no man can take credit for it. And so I come to you and my heart cry has been, I've been asking for rain. We're in the latter rain and I've been asking for rain. God, move. You're the hope of the nations. You are our only hope. You are King. And we've tried every church agenda. We have the biggest, best, beautiful buildings in this country. There's a building overseas. I believe it's in Africa. I can't remember where. And Reinhard Bonnke preached there. If you know him, he's a famous evangelist, crusader. And he literally had to get brought to the platform in an SUV. So they put him in the SUV and he drives through the stadium. So we have these big buildings with thousands and thousands and thousands. But friends, it's time in this hour that we see that it's not working. And so it's time we step back and say, God, you take the platform. And he says, where I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So how are we going to see our family saved? Lift up the name of Jesus. He was speaking about the cross. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. But I believe it is prophetic instruction for those that don't want to play church, but want to see God move. Because see, my fear for the church is we're getting an inch deep and a mile wide. We have, if you're not comfortable here, go to here. And if you're not, I was at a thing and this guy was asking me, you know this name, right? He's a popular name. And I said, I'm new to this certain group. And he goes, oh, well, who'd you go with before? I said, I was Nazarene. And he goes, oh, I feel sorry for you. And I said, yeah, what a shame the holiness teaching is. But you see how petty we've gotten. If you're not in my stream, we're here. And if you're not in my stream, we're here. I had to check myself because I almost got heated. I was like, hey, listen, buddy. I'm thankful for the articles of faith. I'm thankful for the holiness teaching. I'm thankful for the message of sanctification. And the will of God for your life is to be sanctified. So we have all these streams and all these things and all the conflict in the church. And you wonder why God isn't pouring himself out. Let me hit pause for a minute. A handful of salvations and miracles is not revival. That should be normal. So I'm not trying to kill our hype, but the baptism service we had, it was wonderful. That should be normal. Healings, last time I ministered, there was word of knowledge. I had people come up like, whoa, and I'm like, but that should be normal. It has nothing to do with me. God heals. He's healer. I don't know how you argue that. It takes more to argue that God doesn't move than it does that he moves. Is read the word, right? And so God, I believe, is setting us up. And what I want to kind of talk about and hit on today, I'll be honest with you, I don't have a message. when I was youth pastor, the Lord said, quit. Notes are not a bad thing. Please hear me. This is me personal. The Lord said, quit preaching with notes. I said, nope. He quit moving. And youth was miserable. I would preach and I'd have some people come up and be like, hey, it's a good word. But I knew in my spirit what we talked about, Nicole, he wasn't happy. He wasn't pleased. He goes, yeah, I'll move for my namesake, but I want you to trust me. And so I've been preaching the last 2 or 3 years with just my sticky notes on where my passages were. But this morning I was wrestling, had an awesome week of rest in Virginia, just chilling with family. And Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? And he wouldn't give me what he wanted to say. And so this morning, I feel a couple scriptures, and so I'm going to roll with that. But I feel that the day is coming, and God is going to do something in Marion, but in his people. And what we don't want to do is block it by our preferences and our Pentecostal language and our charismatic language and our evangelicalism and all this stuff. And Pastor Teresa almost confirmed what I was going to say on, when she was exhorting, she said, "Everything you do matters to God." Right? That's what you said, right? Okay. And so I'm gonna use that as confirmation for scripture today, because the church, like I said, it's getting an inch deep and a mile wide, and we have all these streams and all these preferences and all these things. But I believe he wants to bring us back to the one thing that matters, the one king. And you can get your teaching on holiness, you can get your teaching on kingdom and have all kinds of new vernacular, but it's not him. Jesus didn't use the things we're teaching. If you look at him, when he would drive out a demon, he didn't tell the person, he didn't read the Miranda rites of the kingdom. He said, you know, get out. He said, "Woman, your faith has made you well." I wouldn't recommend men saying "woman." You might get a punch, a two-piece, a Rocky Balboa on you or something. But that, the shadows healing people can't be taught. If you know your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Your shadow healing people can't be taught. Demons most of the time don't come out for your safety. You can yell and scream and shout, but God doesn't want the sons of Sceva all over again. We can have vernacular and it not work. I've been to all kinds of churches and I've seen people yell and scream and read the rites and say all these things and nothing happens. And what it does, it almost makes God look bad. If you have a new believer come in and they're like, "Man, what? That person's still bound." And my provoking to you is what God is looking for in this hour as a laid down lover. And I really, really mean that. I've said it before, but I really mean that. I'm going through, I didn't realize how much I love my father-in-law. He pours into me. And he was just saying stuff, hanging out, and it was like fresh water to me. And he explained change and transition. Transition's not location. People just change just to change. And people just change and they hate it or they love it and they just get something new. But transition is God taking you somewhere from glory to glory, created in his image. And I believe that God is transitioning me, not location, but heart, to say, "Blaine, the will of God for your life is to look like me, is to be set apart." In Ephesians, it says your inheritance is the fullness of God. Now, wait a minute. We've gotten so loose with Holy Spirit. Nicole, can you imagine God the Holy Spirit living in your body? Come on. In your body. You should explode. And we're just like, "Yeah, it must be, you know, Holy Spirit." But we don't surrender. We don't give our life to him. We still hold on to our own will. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be in us, who men before died by just a glimpse. And we take it lightly just to say, "Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit." We're so quick to move on to what's next. We're so quick to, "I don't like worship being that long," or "I don't like this speaker," or "That's not my preference," or "During prayer, I get bored." And well, that's because prayer's just vocal. You become prayer, and then sometimes it gets vocal. House of prayer everywhere is you are prayer. If Paul said pray without ceasing, then how are you supposed to preach the gospel if it's only vocal? How are you supposed to go to work? Prayer's a lifestyle, and sometimes it's vocal. And so we have all these things we're going to and preferences. And friends, I believe that, you know, I almost preached on today Isaiah 55, where he says, "Come and buy from me with no money." You know, I almost ministered on the 10 virgins, the ones that had oil. Because the ones that have oil, you notice all 10 virgins went out, but 5 didn't have oil. They had a lamp, and it was lit, but it ran out. But there were 5 that had oil to replenish their lamp. And I believe that the Lord is looking for those that isn't so worried about getting deep, getting wide, but is going deep. That's anchored in Psalm 1, a tree planted by water. And I believe the Lord's doing that. And if you don't like this preaching, I'm sorry. I feel this so deep. I feel gripped with this. And I feel just prompted by the Holy Spirit that He is looking for a spotless bride. He is looking for a spotless bride. He is looking for a bride that's in love. Not busy, in love. And so this morning, I'm gonna get in the Word, I promise. Is this okay? I got a message from a sister in the faith. She goes here, and we love this church. Do you know that? We love this church. I carry this church in my heart. I pray for this church. I love this church. Huge impact on my life. And we were praying, and she goes, you know, I believe that this time is so vital that TGP is blessed. They're in a place that we're waiting on the Lord. And pastor, without knowing this, said, Blaine, I want you to know for your life, waiting on the Lord is never a waste of time. So waiting on the Lord, if it is a waste of time to you, we're not doing it right. Because waiting on the Lord doesn't mean you're inactive. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean you're stagnant. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. Waiting on the Lord is, while I'm waiting, I'm still asking, seeking, and knocking. I'm still having face-to-face contact with Abba. I'm still seeking Him. And then when He releases you from that, you mount up on wings like eagles and you soar into what's next. You don't have to push for it. You don't have to fight for it. It's organic. Holy Spirit releases you out of a heavenly slingshot and says, now go. And so we're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord in this season. We're waiting on the Lord because I believe He wants to pour Himself out. I believe He wants to move in cities across the globe. I believe He wants to move and He wants to be lifted up and He wants man's agenda to go to the back burner so He can be enthroned in cities and see cities saved and see families saved and see the broken restored and see living water flow into the lives of His people. And so I believe that in that, it's not going to be a corporate thing. It's going to be an individual thing that becomes corporate. Does that make sense? I heard a quote from Corey Russell. So cool. I posted it and then he reposted it on his Instagram. So I felt really cool. I'm like, babe, no big deal. But Corey Russell reposted my thing. No big deal. But we're basically best friends now. It's no big. I'm like, babe, it's like we're still married. Like, I'm not going to go. But he said every revival begins with a groan. A groan. A groan is, it's so heavy I don't have words for it. I've been hearing a lot of words recently. But at least for me, this may not be for you. I feel God prompting me to pray in the Spirit. Because He goes, Blaine, this is so heavy you don't have the words. How dare you even try to have the words for this? And so what God's doing, I pray that you're tracking with me. He's wanting to move. We get a taste for it. We're in the latter rain. Let me help you out. Don't pray for the harvest. We're in the harvest. He told Peter, the harvest is plentiful. We're over here crying out for something, and you wonder if God's like, it's here. The latter rain is here. The end days are here. How do I know? Peter said it. So if it was the end times, you know, 2,000 some years ago, it's definitely the end times now. And it might be the end times in 6,000 years. I don't know. I'm not God, right? But these things are here. And I want us to step back and wait on the Lord and let Him give, let Him put it in our hearts so that when we speak, it sparks. And that spark catches sparks on fire and we get set ablaze. I mean, I'm going to say this and I'll get in the Word. Think about Moses, the glory he carried. It was on his countenance so that the people couldn't look at him. That is nothing compared to the glory we have access to. Just think about that. The glory that he carried, you couldn't even look at him, and it's nothing compared to what we have access to in the new covenant. If we would begin while we're waiting on the Lord to cry out, to seek Him, to ask, seek, and knock, when He looks on us and sees us faithful and sees us hungry, think about the glory we will carry. And that spark individually will become a flame corporately. Amen? And if you're like, hey, I don't get this. I don't really care. I'm not a big revival guy or whatever. Revival isn't an activity. Revival is God exploding in your life. And if you don't want that, we'll pray for you to get saved. You know what I mean? Like, we want God to explode in our life. I want God to explode in my life. I want God to explode in my parenting. I want God to explode in the workplace. I want God to explode in this church. I want God to explode in Washington, D.C., in Marion. I want it. So it begins with each one of us, right? And so I thought about teaching on the fear of the Lord, but I'm going to teach something along the lines of the fear of the Lord. If you will, turn in your Bible to Psalm 94. Psalm 94, we'll pick it up at verse 9. Psalm 94, verse 9. He, being the Lord, he who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? Now, flip with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter, let me see here. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12. So we have the first one. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? And he who formed the eye, does he not see? Now, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Whoa. Pastor Teresa got up and shared, everything we do matters to God. Friends, I want you to know there's three parts we're going to look at today. But for the Lord to explode in your life and move where you're accessing all he has for us and you're experiencing the fullness of God, I want you to know you were created by God. Did you hear me? You were created by God. No matter your background, no matter how you got here, if your parents just hooked up, if it was just this thing, you are not by accident, you are not a mistake. You were created by God. And you'll only find fullness in God. And part of being made by God is understanding that he didn't just make you just to make you. He made you, and he says, did not he who created the ear, is he not able to hear? And is not he who created the eye able to see? In other words, God sees you. God sees you and God hears you. So this isn't talking about Sunday morning. This isn't talking about church culture. This isn't talking about your vernacular. This isn't talking about the stream you swim in. The Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all that's ever been, sees you and he hears you. And I just have a question. Have you been living your life like God is watching? Have you been talking with the reality that he hears you? Every word that proceeds out of your mouth. I had a friend I worked with. Oh, I love him to death, but he always kept me in check. He would say things like, nobody says something just to say it. It has meaning in there somewhere. And I'm like, man, are you serious? Like, I was just joking. He goes, no, it's in there somewhere. It's not saying you can't have a personality. That's not saying you can't have a sense of humor. But I realized, like, as I grow in Christ, again, I'll take you just a quick 10-second journey on my life. I've seen miracle signs and wonders. I've seen people that come into our meeting ready to commit suicide get renewed in an hour service. I know because I had to give up my customized Bible I just ordered. Lord, redeem that. I'm like, okay, here you go. You could have it, right? But I've seen God move, but the more I go, God's like, don't change the dial on who you are. Don't change the dial on the words I've given you. Don't change that, but you're still growing. You're still walking by faith. And now that you've experienced these good things, now I want to get to your inner man. I want you to look like me in every area. Because Jesus didn't act one way during the ministry time and then act another when he hung out with people. He didn't talk. I've been around so many believers that just cuss a little bit. A little. They're not bad words. And they say, well, you know, in other nations. I'm like, I don't care about other nations. You know, I've seen believers. I've seen things that I'm like, are you living like the Lord's with you right now? Now, that does not mean I'm judge. I'm not judging you. There is no condemnation in love. But if you want to go deeper with God, he's watching. And it's not that he's saying you're not good enough. No, no, no. It's not that he's saying I don't like you. It's not that he's trying to punish you. And then he's not trying to shove religion down your throat, but he's seeing where he's at in the order of your heart. He's asking constantly. His eyes are looking to and fro. Who loves me? Okay, you love me. Do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than that? I've heard your prayers, Lizzie. Now, I want to take you and grant you what you've asked, but I'm going to put my finger on something. What I don't believe is people say, I live a life intimate, seeking the Lord, and then they stay in mediocrity and lukewarmness. There are things that hinder your relationship with God. It's not him changing. It's not him being mean, but it's him saying, if you're going to come into the Holy of Holies, I'm the same. We're four square. So we believe in, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the Old Testament has not changed. We've just got a covering to approach him now. So we've all been priests. We've all gotten this thing of the priesthood that we can enter in and have contact with God. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us that bears witness, Abba. We have this access, and I'm telling you, God is wanting to move, but he's only going to trust his Spirit to a deeper measure to a spotless bride. I didn't say someone perfect. Don't try to tangle my words and get offended. Jesus said in John 14, before he started the upper room discourse, I tell you these things so you don't get offended. The believer should be unoffendable. The believer should be unoffendable. And so the Holy Spirit, the Lord, is looking on his bride and saying, who loves me? Because there's hidden agendas that man may never know, but God sees it. God sees the agenda of man. He sees the heart's desire. He hears. Think about, he asked Cain, I hear the blood of Abel crying out. He hears things we don't hear. He sees things we don't see. And friends, I feel so prompted in this hour that if God looks upon me, what do you see? What's really preeminent in my life? Do my words please you? Because the tongue has the power of life and death. If you think about, we'll be judged for every idle word, you might not speak as much. You want a kingdom message? Here's. Oh man, this is deep. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father saying, and I only do what I see my Father doing. So if you want God to look at you and see your life as pure, find out what he's saying. Say that. Find out what he's doing. Do that. And friends, if you want to see Jesus move in your life, I'm telling you right now, I want us to become to a place where he looks at TGP and he says, they really want me. All agendas are aside. All things are aside. And I see a bride that's crying out, come, Lord Jesus. Why do you think the Spirit and the bride say, come? The end of the Bible ends. Revelation ends with the Spirit and the bride say, come. So how should a worship set go? Come. 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 Because I want my words to be pleasing to your ear. Your hearing is not he who created the ear able to hear. That means an amen to a message that really isn't good. That isn't fear of God. You're just talking. That means raising your hands and you don't mean it is just motion. Guys, we've had church culture where we shove religion down a generation's throat and they run away. Nope. Mom and dad shoved it on me. Said I heard somebody say, I had to go to the altar every Sunday because I thought I was going to burn in hell every Sunday. And we're not there. But now we have a generation that just, Daddy God loves me and I can do whatever I want. I don't think so. He's still holy. And we have to move from this place where I have been saved. You're justified. You know, in Bible college, we learned this thing. It's, you know, whatever. Just as if I'd never sinned, right? Justified. Greg, you didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. You don't have a receipt for it. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. None of us do. But you've been saved. But the will of God for your life is not your assignment. The will of God for your life is sanctification, to be set apart, to be a spotless bride. That's the will of God for your life. And in that, he's saying, listen, that's where the scripture comes in. Now work your salvation out with fear and trembling. Because justification is free. You're saved. Boom. It's great. We are saved. I pray everybody sitting in a seat right now is saved. But God is saying, now there's more. And the more isn't people at the altar necessarily. The more isn't an assignment. See, for years, for 2 or 3 years, I got stuck on, I thought the more of God was Blaine getting hired as a lead pastor. When I was in a denomination, I had job offer after job offer after job offer with a house. You know, some denominations still have the, what do they call those? Parsonage. Man, I was like, sweet. I'm like, I'm 20 and I'm like, man, I'm going to get a job and a house and a, you know, you throw a car in, it's a deal. No, like all these things, all these things that have happened. But again, I'm telling you, the more I go, the Lord's like, it's not, the will of God is not the assignment. Don't get it confused. The will of God is that I dwell in you. The holy presence of God dwelling in you. And friends, when that happens, you'll see more healings on accident. You'll have more prophetic words flow unintentionally. You'll do more evangelism naturally. When you're so caught up in who he is that he looks down and he goes, Lizzie really just wants me. She really just wants me. The answer to every question is Jesus for her. I'm gonna go, and I'm not just going to be in you, but I'm going to clothe you. And that's the glory that Hebrews talks about. And you'll carry the glory of God, and you'll do more evangelism, and revival, our word revival, will become your way of life. That you'll literally say, I can't help it. I'm so one with him that it just flows out of me. I literally can't help myself. When I go into the grocery store, I hear what he's saying, and I'm realizing he's watching me, so I have to be obedient to what he says. Handing out business cards for your church isn't evangelism. Oh, I better move on. Anyways, he hears and he sees and he's looking for a spotless bride. He's looking for one that's saying, you've moved on. There's a scripture that says, we mature. We mature. You've had the milk. You've been saved. Now we go on to. And I don't believe that on to is preaching. I don't believe that on to is a platform. I don't believe going on is a social media page. Although none of that is bad, the on to is what we're moving on to, the church is missing, is sanctification. Is I'm set apart and my mouth is not going to speak things that God doesn't speak. So if you see me out in the workplace, you're not going to get a light cuss word. My browser history is clean. I don't have magazines. I don't have things. I don't have conversations. I don't watch movies that are not pleasing to God. And you may think, man, you're getting religious. And I'm not saying you won't go to heaven if that's you. But what I'm saying is you'll block the move of God to the full capacity on your life. And I don't want to measure, friends. I want it all. Not because I'm greedy, because I love my dad and I know what he paid for. He paid for the fullness. And especially in today's time, you all know we ain't leaving nothing on the table. At least I'm not. We were in D.C. and I had a burger bill for like $60. I was like, tip. No, anyway, I'm kidding. I tipped. God bless you. But I'm not leaving anything on the table. I'm not leaving anything on the table. I want the fullness of what Abba paid for. And I believe it's time that we move into. If prayer doesn't move you, go to the Father and say, Father, what in me do you see that I don't see that needs to be moved? In my last 10 minutes, I want to go through these couple things. And we're going to have a time that the altar will be open if you feel led. Man, I could preach on this for days, but I just am giving you the premise. He who created the ear hears, and he who created the eye sees. So there's three things in this next 10 minutes before we close I want to talk about that he's heard and he's seen, your past. And friends, if we're going to move forward into the fullness of God, you have to ask God to redeem your past. We can't sweep it under the rug. He knows what was said to you. He knows what you saw. If it was how your parents treated you, if it was how a spouse treated you, if it was how a child, a job, a church. Church hurt is not God. And I'm telling you, if you're functioning from church hurt, you will not transition good. If you're functioning from church hurt that you have not given to God, you will not experience what's next. Because Jesus was a lamb led to slaughter and opened not his mouth. So he sees what happened to you. He's heard what was said to you. And he also heard what you said when you got in the car. He heard what you said in your heart. Wasn't it Sarah that laughed in her heart about having a child? And God said, why'd your wife laugh? That's crazy. He heard it in her heart. He sees it. He sees these things. He has heard and he has seen your past. Every part of it. You have never been alone for 1 minute. I love Abigail came and ministered to the teens one time. And we had a mass deliverance. All 12 teens that were in the room got delivered because she talked about there wasn't a moment God was not with you. And you have to go back and say, God, redeem this time of my life. Redeem it. And I was like, Abigail, you're going to have to close this because I'm getting touched. I'm getting hit. You know. And so God sees. And if we're going to transition from glory to glory and faith to faith, you can change who's at the pulpit. That's fine. You can do whoever you want. That's free will. You can hire, you can do whatever, you can do whatever you want to do. You can change the house you live in. You can change the jobs you're at. You can change your clothes. You can change your hair. You can change these things, but that doesn't mean you're transitioning. That doesn't mean that the Lord is finding you saying, here I am, Lord. That his eyes are looking on you and seeing your heart for him. That's change, but we're transitioning. So I'm telling you, if we're going to transition, you have to say, Father, you created the eye of all man, the redeemed and the unredeemed. You created the ear. So what this person said to me, they may have moved on, but I haven't. And I need you to redeem this in my life. I lay out the broken pieces of my heart on the altar. And I say, Abba, you've got to come. And he says that the Lord does not delight in sacrifice. The Lord does not delight in religious repetition, but it's a broken and contrite heart that pleases the Lord. And so we have to go to our past and say, Lord, I've had to go and say, Lord, this person in this group hurt me. I was vulnerable, man. I ministered for this guy and he mocked me. You know what I mean? I've had to lay these things out. I was told I was stealing sermons from somebody one time. It was funny. It was funny to me. Anyways, I've had people in the church didn't like the Holy Spirit promotion I was getting. And tried to grieve it. But the Lord's like, I can't launch you into what's next if we don't deal with that hurt. So he sees, he's heard. He's heard. And if somebody said something mean to you, don't be foolish and say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That used to be me. I'm tough. But every word has the power of life and death. Where I'm working right now, working with my family, and my spiritual mama, she said, Blaine, we gotta pray for you. You've dammed up the blessing of God with how you've talked about the property of your business. And it's been 5 or 6 years ago, but we gotta break that off so that blessing can flow. I'm like, you wanna backtrack? She goes, yeah. Have you said? And I'm like, yeah. So we had to go and break it off. We had to break those things off. So what you said, it carries life and death. It's life and death. It's blessing or curse. And so you have to go back and say, what were the things said to me that is still hindering me and crippling me and becoming triggers, and we're breaking that off. We're getting it under the blood. As Mama Tammy would say, we're getting her under the blood. We're moving on. We're moving on. We're covering it. We're moving on. And so you have to go know where you've been. And now where we are right now, God sees us. So while we're waiting on the Lord, we're not just saying, oh, I'm waiting. He's holy. He'll answer. He's good. That's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is, God, I won't move on without you. The fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. It's being afraid to live without God. It's being afraid to live without God. The fear of the Lord is not compromise. The fear of the Lord is hating of sin. The fear of the Lord is pursuing righteousness, holiness. Those are the things of the Lord that are found when you live in a life fearing the Lord. And part of fearing the Lord is realizing he sees you and he hears you. So where we are right now, to say, God, you see me and you hear me. So I got to watch what I say about people. If your leadership in the church does not honor leaders, you won't be trusted with the presence. I had to learn that. I had a quickening about honor. Once again, Mama Tammy and Papa Jim. Oh, if it wasn't for them, I don't know where I'd be. you have to honor. God sees you. So while we're in transition as a body, watch what you say. Watch what you do. The Lord, we want to speak blessing. We want to speak promotion on this house. We want to speak kingdom. We want to speak the King. We don't want to just have a vernacular and it be an empty word. He hears. And he knows the heart behind what he hears. And so right here where we're at, as you're praying for your family, as you're praying for your children that have gone their own way, please, for the love of God, don't tell everybody what's going on. You know how many times I've heard of a child that's went off on their own way and the parents are here in the church gossiping? It's not gossiping, it's my child. No, you're speaking curse on them. You speak blessing, you speak kingdom, you speak life. You speak the will of God because your words matter. And he hears. And if that's too spiritual for you, tell your counsel and they won't have me speak anymore. I'm sorry, this is the conviction I get from the Word of God. And I want more. And more doesn't come through Danny getting touched singing, I want more. We've done that. And it's not bad, but he's seeing our hearts and saying, are you ready for more? Because I really see. I see what Greg doesn't see. I see what Blaine doesn't see. I see what Pastor Betty doesn't see. I see these things. And I want him to look upon us and see a lowly servant saying, God, we just want you. And finally, for the future, I want to create a culture in a church setting. What would it be if we created this as a culture? That our discipleship was trained of your greatest ministry is your life. You bear fruits of repentance, the Bible says. You bear fruits worthy of salvation. You bear fruits worthy of living in the fear of the Lord. You bear fruits living in wisdom. And so our greatest ministry isn't just what I can say and what I can post, but it's that the Lord watches and he sees, oh, Miss Joe, I can trust you. I've been watching you, so I'm going to pour out at Flawless because I've been watching you. I'm going to pour out in your life. I'm going to pour out in your ministry. The greatest church growth method is not a book. It's, Lord, do you like what you see? Are you pleased with what you hear? And so in my time of prayer, are you pleased? If you tell me to sing, I'm going to sing. If you tell me to be silent, I'm going to be silent. I want you to be pleased. I'm walking in this reality that God is with me. What would happen if we started living with the reality that he is with you? That he is with you. Maybe this isn't for you, but for me, I want the ministry. John, I think it's 14, says, you see the works I did, you'll do greater. You'll do greater. And Paul said, imitate Christ. And so I want to imitate Christ. I want him to look at my life and be pleased. I want to live in the reality that the movie I'm watching, God is beside me. The music I'm listening to, he is listening to. The things that I'm saying, the thoughts that I have, the Lord is hearing all of those. And friends, I want mine to be ones that please him. I want mine to be ones that please the Lord. That the Lord finds favor upon Blaine and Daniela. And our ministry isn't about how gifted or how talented or how these things. I mean, the disciples said, the Sanhedrin said, these guys are uneducated fishermen. So what was special about them? They lived pure before the Lord. The Holy Spirit was living in them, and they didn't find reason to label their lukewarmness and say, I'm going to stay right here. We've made, and again, this isn't condemnation, but we've put spiritual handcuffs on ourselves. We found where we're comfortable and say, you know what, I'm going to stay here and call it growth. Don't judge my walk. Don't judge my walk. But I'm here to say there is more. And there is something the Lord wants to do. But friends, you've got to lay it down. He has saved you, and that is a gift. That is a gift that we do not deserve. It is a mystery as to why he wanted us so much. But the sanctification and the more, where he can look and say, I can trust you. I can trust you. I don't care about the titles, the degrees. I don't care about the positions. I can trust you. And what God does, no man can stop. That's the kingdom we want. That's the advance. That's the promotion. That's the glory we want. And so this morning, I'm closing. It's 12 o'clock. I feel this in my spirit, and I just want to say to you that right now, we can come together and we can say, Holy Spirit, redeem my past, the things I've said, the things I've seen, the things that has been done to me, the things that have been said to me. God, you see me right now, and you see all of my tomorrows. And so, Holy Spirit, I want to be clean. I want you to find me pleasing. I want my mouth and my lips to be redeemed. I want to be made new. I want to be set on this life of fear of the Lord. I want to be set on this reality that you're with me. If that's you and you want that, come to this altar and I want to pray with you. And if you need to leave, you can leave. We bless you. We bless you. We thank you for being here and gathering with us. But if you want prayer, if you want that Holy Spirit restart, we're here to pray with you. We're here to pray with you. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you are good. You are King. Oh, we sang about you. We sang about how wonderful you are, and God, you are. You are, God, you are all. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. And so, Lord, touch us right now. For those at the altar, we pray for a supernatural touch that only you can do. God, those at home, those watching later, we pray for a supernatural touch right now, God. And those that are leaving, we pray a blessing over them, that you would cover them in your presence, and that even as they leave this building, they will still be in communion and in oneness with you. So continue the work you've started right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the saints said amen.